government confirms impending food crisis as it moves to ban exports of locally grown rice, maize and soya bean with immediate effect, with the country set to lose 22.2 billion cedis in revenue, with nearly a million farmers estimated to be impacted by the dry spell.
These drought conditions have far-reaching implications for food security and livelihoods, with the following notable consequences. Food shortage. The affected regions contribute about 62% of the country's grain supply.
We'll bring you details as President Akufo-Addo directs Finance Ministry to raise 8 billion cedis to deal with the crisis.
We are seeking to raise about 500 million US dollars, the equivalent of 8 billion Ghana cedis, to fund the crisis response program.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holding insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Government is tonight confirming an impending food crisis. Their Greek minister, Brian Champon, in the last hour has announced a ban on the export of locally grown rice, maize and soya beans with immediate effect. He has been addressing a news conference together with the defense and finance ministers. Preliminary assessment of the impact of the dry spell on 8 regions reveal nearly 500,000 farmers have directly been impacted, with 10.4 billion cedis in revenue already lost. Briefing the media in Accra, Mr. Champon said almost a million farmers are at risk of being hit hard.
Preliminary reports indicate that about 928,523 farmers cropping 1,557,000 hectares are at risk. And I'm talking about those at risk. These farmers will lose an estimated investment of 7.4 billion cedis if there is total crop failure. The 928,523 farmers cropping 1,507,000 hectares, those at risk, they will lose an estimated investment of 7.4 billion if there's total crop failure. The corresponding revenue loss is estimated at 22.2 billion. So the investment is what they put in seeds, in inputs, fertilizers, farm hands, and all that they put into crop. That is 7 billion. The revenue is the sales, what they will derive from the investment that they will make. And that is estimated at 22 billion, representing 10% of agricultural GDP, which in itself is about 220 billion. As at August 20th, 435,872 farmers cultivating an estimated area of 871,000 hectares have been directly affected. So earlier on, I talked about those at risk being 928,523. The 435,872 are those that have been confirmed as affected as of 20th August, and the audit is still ongoing. Maize, rice, groundnut, soya bean, sorghum, millet and yam are the most widely affected crops across these regions. The affected farmers have lost an estimated investment of 3.5 billion with a corresponding potential revenue of 10.4 billion. So of those affected, not the entire at risk that I mentioned, have lost 22 billion. The confirmed affected, they have lost an investment of 3.5 billion and the corresponding potential revenue 10.4 billion. These drought conditions have far-reaching implications for food security and livelihoods, with the following notable consequences. Food shortage. The affected regions contribute about 62% of the country's grain supply. the affected regions. They contribute about 62% of the country's grain supply.
He also announced measures being rolled out by the government to deal with the impending food crisis, including the massive importation of rice and maize and providing affected farmers relief.
With immediate effect, government is placing a ban on the export of grains, including maize, rice, until the situation normalizes. This measure is essential to ensure the availability of these critical crops on the domestic market. Any farmer with stock and interested in selling should contact our district directories across the country, our district aggregators, or the Directorate of Crops, Ministry of Agriculture. This ensures that farmers do not suffer adversely from this ban. As earlier mentioned, the affected regions contribute over 62% of our grain supply. With the projected shortfall in grain supply, government will tap into the ECOWAS grain reserve and partner with the private sector to bridge the gap. Government will also bring in 300,000 metric tons of maize and 100 metric tons of rice to provide food support to vulnerable farmers who have lost their crop and also for the market. Additionally, we will bring in a total volume of 26,000 metric tons of poultry feed to directly support the poultry industry, as maize, their main raw material, severely affected. The following interventions will also be targeted directly at farmers to bring them relief. Cash transfers. We have identified 928,523 farmers cultivating 1.8 million hectares who are at risk, but been able to confirm 435,000 of the at risk. We have been able to confirm 400,000. Cultivating 871,000 hectares. Government has decided to provide financial support amounting to 1,000 Ghana cedis per hectare to the most vulnerable among these farmers as partial cover for their investment. Government will also provide affected vulnerable farmers with some food grant to enable them meet their minimum nutritional requirement.
And thankfully, we can bring in the Agric Minister himself, Brian Champon, joins us right now. Mr. Champon, thank you for time here on Top Story. Grateful that we can talk to you on this crisis that you have painted a very important picture for us to appreciate. How are you describing this in terms of its impact on the farmers on the ground, and how quickly can the relief get to those in dire need of them?
Well, thank you very much, Ivan, and thank you to your listeners, your loyal listeners. We have confirmed the situation is a terrible one. We have put in the systems, we have announced the measures, and we are going to work with our partners, our stakeholders, to ensure that we are delivering the relief to the farmers and also restore their crop life.
And we have also heard about the ban you've placed tonight on rice, maize, soya beans in terms of export. How are you enforcing this?
Well, as of last week, the security agencies have been put on extremely high alert to ensure that no grains, as we know it, is leaving our borders. So that has indeed started. And the defense minister was there as part of the briefing to ensure the nation that the ban has been placed, they will enforce it to ensure that our grains are protected for the benefit of Ghanaians.
Based on your estimations, I heard you talk about food shortage. How soon do you expect all of us to start feeling that impact?
So the transitional zone harvest and the northern harvest should come in around the 20th of September. In fact, the early, those who planted early, we should have been seeing their grains on the market in Tamale by now. Clearly, there are no grains on the market now. But we should have the full impact by the end of September. And that is why we are putting in the interventions now to ensure that by September, we have enough grains on the market to ensure that we don't have food shortages or distortions on our food price systems.
Where are we sourcing the additional grains we require? I hear you say we may be importing.
Well, first of all, on maize, we have stakeholder partner countries that we work with. We're tapping into our ECOWAS grain reserve. We contribute to the ECOWAS grain reserve. Ghana contributes. Indeed, some of the reserve warehouses are in Ghana that when last year when we had a bumper harvest, we invested in. So we're going to tap into the ECOWAS grain reserve. We also have what we call program grains. We have several programs that we run as a ministry, what we call the SADEP. SADEP have significant grains that we keep up north. We're going to...
Hello, Dr. Bright Champa.
...partner countries to also release some grains to us. We have some confirmation from these countries until the deals are formalized. Permit me to keep the country names under wraps for now.
And this is going to cost us quite a bit. From the finance minister's own estimate, some $500 million?
Well, absolutely. And the numbers add up very, very quickly, Evans. 300,000 metric tons of maize at around 250-280 dollars is north of about $90 million dollars. Then you are bringing in 150,000 metric tons of rice, which is about close to 700 metric tons of $700 per metric ton. That adds up very quickly. We are looking at providing inputs to almost a million farmers up north and equally million farmers down south to boost their production to ensure that they can make up for some of the shortfall. That in itself is going to cost about $260 million. So the numbers add up very, very quickly. Given 871,000 acres, we're paying 1,000 cedis per hectare, and we've identified 871,000 hectares. Evans, that alone is 871 million Ghana cedis, and that costs about 54 million or so odd dollars. So if you look at the numbers, it adds up very, very quickly, and we are being conservative with the numbers, because a farmer cropping a hectare of farmland is estimated to have invested 10,000 Ghana cedis, because the yield on an acre is about 40 bags of 50 kg a bag. So a hectare, which is 2.5 acres, is about 100 bags of maize. You estimate a farmer's revenue from that 100 bags at 300 cedis for the 50 kg bag, it means that for a hectare, a farmer would have lost a potential revenue of 30,000 Ghana cedis. This farmer should have invested about 30%, which is about 10,000 Ghana cedis on the farm. And so if you look at the farmer investment, if we are to go the full haul, then definitely the budget will not be able to support it. And that is why we are providing a blend of relief, which is first food, and then provide them with inputs, and then the cash support to provide a total relief to the farmer. So the numbers are quite large, but we have to find a way to manage the situation with what we have.
The figures are jaw-dropping indeed. Where are we getting the funding from? Where are we sourcing this from, considering that we're trying to maneuver ourselves currently out of the economic crisis already?
The Ministry of Food and Agriculture has a budget of about 2.5 billion Ghana cedis for our programs for the year. A billion Ghana cedis have been cut off that budget to be put into this relief support. Painfully so, but the exigencies of time calls for such measures, and the finance minister made it clear that looking for money from other ministries' budget will be difficult. So our budget has been cut, okay, and $1 billion taken out to provide this this support to farmers. The contingency vote and fund, I know, will be affected. Some money will come from that. And the contingency actually is for such time. So that is the way to go. I know that one ministry has also been affected. Budget has also been sliced to make room for the government side of the investment, which now stands about close to $2.5 billion taken out of the budget. We have some commitments from our development partners. We've had meetings with them last week. Those things are even still shaping up. As and when they are conclusive, I'm sure the finance minister will announce them.
You consider there's a national security crisis?
Not entirely. You have enough information, you have enough intelligence. You know when the asteroid in this case will hit. And what we are doing now is to put in measures that when the time comes, which is end of September, we have October, we have enough grains to deal with it. And so we are not calling it a national security crisis. We are not declaring a state of emergency. We are calling it a situational crisis, and we have the capacity to deal with it such that it doesn't affect the farmers. It doesn't affect the lifestyle and livelihood of the farmers. It doesn't affect our food our systems. And so we have the capacity to deal with it, and so we will not elevate it to a national security crisis. A situational crisis indeed, Evans, because the farmers have lost a great deal of money, investment that they've put in at the start of the crop season, and that is what we really, really concerned about.
But a state of emergency declaration will allow you to access emergency funding.
Well, the funding that we, a situational crisis will also allow us to tap into the situation is there for everybody to see. The state of emergency has elements that deprive the rights of persons, and I don't think that we want to be able to, we want to consider a declaration of a state of emergency as per Article 31, 32 of the Constitution. That's really not what we want to do. It's a food crisis. Okay, it's nothing that we cannot deal with, and we will not invite a state of emergency on the country because of this. I think that we are in good hands, and we will pass this exam.
Do you admit, though, that this also comes down to the effectiveness of our irrigation systems? And this, in essence, is just a crisis brought on by dry spell. If you had effective irrigation systems in place, we could be mitigating this outcome.
But I don't know what effective irrigation systems mean, Evans, under the circumstances. Because the irrigation systems that we have in the country, Butanga, Zia, Tamni, and the ones that we are building in our farm, well, let me even leave the ones that we are building in our farm place because we just started. But all the irrigation schemes that we have in the north, they are delivering. In fact, we did say that we are writing off 90% of the crops in the north. The remaining 10% is from the irrigation scheme. Evans, we do not have enough irrigation schemes in the country to produce all our goods because it's an expensive enterprise. And we need a very long time through aggressive and determined budgetary allocations to put in irrigation systems to be able to deliver on our food systems. We have started this year alone. We have put in 5,000 hectares of our irrigation systems. We have also commenced the procurement of another 15,000 hectares of irrigation systems. When this comes on stream, we will be able to break a gap. But it's something that we have to do over the next 10 years to ensure that our food systems are fully secured. And I think that we're on the right path to delivering this irrigation scheme.
What's the role of the National Food Buffer Stock Company in this?
Well, if you have buffer, like last year, I'm sure last year you saw that we have our investment yielded a positive result. We had enough food in this country to the extent that there was so much grain, so much maize, that farmers were even complaining that the prices were too low. A 50 kg bag of maize dropped to as low as 145 Ghana cedis. and the farmers were complaining. We have enough food. Buffer stock took advantage of this and procured some of the buffer stock to the extent that their warehouses could contain and resources that they have. They also procured for the ECOWAS. They are the ones buying the grains for the ECOWAS grain reserve, Evan. So they did their part. We need to put a lot more resources to allow them to perform well. We need to recalibrate the whole buffer stock system and idea and put in proper systems and funding to allow them to procure and store for such a crisis. We are not there yet, but lessons have been learned and we know what we have to do.
So the buffer stock company right now hasn't got buffer in place. The stock is not in place to take us through this crisis, at least before you get all the stock in.
Oh, Evans, we're talking about 300,000 metric tons of maize. We're talking about 150,000 metric tons of rice. Let me put this thing in context. We have built 80 warehouses at 1,000 metric tons per warehouse. The entire, in this country, Ghana Republic, the entire government and private sector warehouses dedicated for grains and cereals is about, the installed capacity is about 250,000 metric tons, government and private sector. Evans, we consume 2.5 million metric tons of maize. We consume 1.4 million metric tons of soya. Millet, sorghum, and the other grains, about 1.5 million metric tons. Evans, that's about 5 million metric tons. Yet we have installed capacity, both government and private sector, of 250,000. So if you take out just what buffer stock controls, which is just about 15,000 metric tons of capacity warehouses, then you cannot say that buffer stock should have enough warehouses to be able to deliver on such a crisis. The capacity is not there. And that is why we are putting up major grain silos. In fact, we are putting up one in Kweu, to be able to take the investment that we have put in our farm plains. You know, our farm plains, Chiamam from Atonsu, Kuledu, and such our farm plains, we have put in an investment of $3 billion to do a massive irrigation scheme in 5,000 hectares. And the grains that are going to come out of there, we're going to keep a portion in the strategic grain silo that we are putting up in Shishi in the Kweu East District. So these are steps that we're taking, but the capacity of buffer stock and our food systems alignment currently will not be able to support, and therefore we need to bring in. Even that, Evans, half of the year is gone. So for maize that we have consumed, we consume 2.5 million. We still have about 1.2 million to consume for the remainder of the year. We expect the southern sector, with the interventions that we are going to make, to bring in another half a million metric tons. There will still be a gap of half a million. The gap of half a million is what government is intervening to bring in 300,000 metric tons. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, it has started raining up north. From all of last week, from the 20th actually, it started raining in all of the northern region. The forecast that we have received that suggests that it may be able to support the food crop life. We are still looking at the forecast. We are not too sure, but we are looking at it. If luck is on our side and that comes in, that will be able to help infill the other 300,000 requirement that we have. A lot of planning going on. A lot of forecasting, aggressive solutions are being found, and we know that all in all put together, we will not get to the level of a national food security crisis in the period between now and December. And that will not happen.
And today I saw your colleague, the defense minister, with you today. What's the role of the Ghana Armed Forces in this crisis intervention you're rolling out?
First of all, they are protecting our borders. They have sort of a central command role among all those providing security, be it immigration, customs, and the other intelligence agencies operating along the border. Their presence is massive. and we're counting on them to ensure that the ban is enforced.
I'm grateful. That is Dr. Brian Champone, is a Minister for Food and Agriculture. And if you're just joining us, a major developing story tonight with the government confirming the impending food crisis as it moves to ban the export of locally grown rice, maize and soya bean. As you've just been listening there to Dr. Brian Champone, who is a great minister, everything the government says has been done to avoid a full-blown crisis that will impose food insecurity across the length and breadth of this country. But he said enough to say that by the mid of September, towards the end of September, is when they were expecting food shortages. They are now mobilizing emergency resources to import significant amounts of grains to avert that outcome. I want to bring right now Bismarck Owusu-Norte. He's the president of the Peasant Farmers Association, joins us right now on the line. Thank you, sir, for your time. And many of your farmers have been hit hard by the dry spell we've been talking about. You've listened to the Agric Minister. Satisfied with the emergency measures you're rolling out?
Well, thank you very much for having me. And as we rightly stated in our press conference we had about a week ago, we recommended some stopgap measures that should be taken by government to ameliorate farmers from the situation we found ourselves in. Some of the key things that we called for, including the provision of input support for farmers who have lost their crops. We also called for provision of food aid, food supplies. We also called for some cash for the farmers who were affected. So listening to the minister today and he advancing the measures that they've put in place to mitigate the effects of the dry spell, I think while some are welcoming, we have some concerns that we hope it should be looked at.
What are these concerns?
In the first place, let me tap on to the most controversial one, then I move to the others. The first one had to do with the government resolve to ban the exports of grains. I think that this particular approach is an approach that was not inclusive.
But we need that, don't we?
It didn't take on board the views and concerns and the possible challenges that this might have on farmers.
I mean, what possible challenges could there be, considering that we are in a crisis and we need food right now for this country? Why would you be exporting when your own country needs it?
Yeah, you know, when farmers are producing, I listened to the minister very well. He mentioned he gave an accurate figure as to the cost farmers incur to produce 1 acre of cereal, in this case, maize. So when farmers make their expenses, the expectation is that when they sell, they should be able to recover the investment they need. Now, when you allow for the forces of demand and supply to determine prices, farmers are able to get optimum price for their produce. And in that same way, they're able to recover the loss, the investment that they made. This ban is not a new thing, if you know. Remember, the former minister did same. And farmers had serious challenges because it forced the prices of these products to go down. And farmers couldn't recover the investment they made on their produce. So if you are announcing a ban, the ideal thing is to put in place local measures that will insulate the farmers from any possible low prices. For instance, government could have said that they have set a minimum price to purchase a 50 kilogram of maize, where we all agree that that price is enough to cover or offset the cost that farmers borne to produce that particular produce. But that was not done. So what this ban will do is that eventually it should begin to bring down the prices of this product to the extent that farmers will be shortchanged. And I'm not sure that we are comfortable in making a policy to rather have a negative effect on people that we intend to help.
And very detailed concerns that Bismarck Owusu noted. I want you to stay with me because this is such an important subject tonight. And Bismarck will stay with me. I will also bring in an Greek economist as we begin to analyze what government has been announcing today. Government is deploying the Ghana Armed Forces across our borders to enforce a ban on the export of locally grown rice, maize, soya bean, as it confirms this impending food crisis. You really want to stay with us as we break this down, how this may impact you. The minister told us on Top Story a short while ago that we can expect food shortages to hit by mid-September to the end of September, and that is why they're already planning to bring in additional grains from ECOWAS and other countries to try and avert that devastating outcome. Stay with us. Newsnight starts right now.